Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Curiosity is a theme that shows up in our conversations a lot. And today we are going to delve a little deeper into curiosity and how we can use it specifically as a tool for navigating difficult conversations and situations. We will begin with just, you know, looking at curiosity and how we can use it as a tool when it comes to difficult conversations and situations and see where it takes us. Okay, so Erin, what comes to mind? I know curiosity is something that comes up a lot when we talk about judgment, difficult decisions, and difficult conversations and situations. So what comes to mind?
So the first thing that comes to mind for me is of a personal matter, and that is trying to find a way to use curiosity when a conversation is really challenging rather than the initial wanting to react response, which I struggle with a lot sometimes. So I've been thinking about this in terms of how can I bring curiosity a little bit more into that beginning part where I get into fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Like I kind of tend to go all over the place with those. I might be one or the other. I don't always heavily rely on one. But I think I may not be able to intersect or interject before that initial like response, right? That big feeling response. Sometimes, yes. But when I can't, I think curiosity is the landing place. It's the ability to take a moment and consider various viewpoints and sides and be open to what people are saying as a form of feedback and as a form of learning and growth. And then being able to be curious about what my initial response was. So it's kind of a way to study that. Why did I respond in fight or why did I respond in flight? And have a better understanding of that to know that how I can use my response in the future to be more effective. And so I think curiosity is so helpful in recovering or in understanding why we responded in the way that we responded. And then how can we move forward in a way that makes sense and doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, this perfect resolution, but that curiosity provides that openness, a space to explore, a space to have a little bit more of that playfulness with a situation so that one really sees the gray and in the situation and how that relates to issue at hand, to the conversation, to the other individuals or individual, and to oneself. So ultimately, yes, I'd like to be able to jump to curiosity right away and like really be centered in every conversation and every heated, hard conversation I ever have. I don't think that is something I will ever fully get to, but can use curiosity as a pathway to that too, as a pathway to growing in how I respond. And, you know, once I start to really understand, oh, I'm really going into flight mode right here, how I can really recognize the root of what is causing that. And so I think curiosity is always a jumping off place for anything, whether that's like an inventive topic or a discovery, but just as importantly, in a conversation, in a way to create a peaceful society, in a way to move those conversations forward. So that was my initial just like thinking and understanding and reflection on curiosity in my own life and how that shows up as a way to feel empowered to move forward, as well as to be understanding, to see things as just learning opportunities rather than, you know, things that I didn't do right. So that's my initial response, LaShawn. What would you add here?
I love how you talk about curiosity as not only a tool to use for introspection, asking and being curious about your reaction to a situation, and then also using it to navigate and to use it as a pathway for more open conversation when you're having like when you're talking about something difficult. I love that. I love that two-way approach to using curiosity. And I love that you also mentioned that it is not easy to jump into curiosity, I would say. And ideally, we would love to respond immediately to something that's difficult. But the whole point of like difficult conversations, difficult situations is what makes it difficult is, that initial reaction to something that's unpleasant. And just to be aware that, oh, like you said, Erin, I'm in flight, I'm in fight. For me, it's often fawn. And then you can be like self-aware of, your reaction to something. And I often think of our initial reactions in situations. It is a sign for us to know where we are mentally and where we are emotionally in a situation. So if our initial response to a difficult topic, like, so for example, we had a conversation about end-of-life planning. And if our initial reaction to end-of-life planning is run and hide, let's just put that aside. Oh, that wouldn't, I, we have so much time. We don't need to talk about that right now. Or it's a feeling of just being uncomfortable or just not wanting to even think about it, then we can really get curious about our values, how we see death, how we see end of life, how we see future. And then we can then take that time to ask those questions. I wonder what is scary about this conversation and what would make it less scary? And just start asking those questions to, again, to use your excellent word, pathways, to create a pathway into territory that's not so scary. So recognizing this is scary, this is triggering, this is making me angry, this is making me feel threatened, this is making me feel defensive, then we could stop. And maybe even think of a word, an anchor that we can have that's going to help us to shift or disrupt that initial reaction. So, one thing that we could say is maybe even just take a deep breath or say, or I'm curious, or, something that can disrupt that initial reaction so that we can then activate our, frontal lobes and we can be more in our executive functions. Because when we're triggered, we're in the amygdala and we just need to find a way to disrupt that neural pathway. And then we can practice that. And then eventually our recovery time will be faster. We may not ever get to the point where our initial and our go-to is to respond, to be like, that I'm curious about that. We're going to feel that little twinge or that little uncomfortable feeling. And that's a good thing because it means that our emotions are working and that we have a way of seeing what works for us and what doesn't, and we're aware of our boundaries. Initial reactions to things also indicate boundaries as well. So if someone says something or does something that initially causes us to feel defensive, threatened, angry, then we know, oh, that's a boundary. And then we can then get into that curious mode, be curious about, okay, what is it that this person is doing? Or how can I express to this person or these people or whatever that a boundary has been crossed? And it doesn't necessarily have to be in those coachy terms, but you could maybe have that inner dialogue there. But yeah, those are some things that came up while I was listening to you, Erin. The idea of using it first to be aware of where you are and to then create pathways into a more open, maybe neutral conversation, maybe finding neutral territory so that you can look at the situation or come at the discussion in a more open-minded or a calmer mind. And then also using that to reach an understanding or understanding, because that word did come up, understanding ourselves, understanding the people involved, understanding the situation you're in. Those are such powerful awarenesses to have when we are in situations that are less than ideal or difficult, challenging. we can learn a lot about ourselves, I think, when we're in difficult situations. So, Erin, what's coming up for you as I'm blabbing on and on about
Oh, there is so much richness. I was just like here shaking my head the whole time, which LaShawn probably could see, but clearly no one else can see that. And I love this idea that you kind of started from around, curiosity as a way to kind of rewire our response, so that we train those neural pathways to move to something that's more a little bit more effective and a little less reactive, right? The goal is to always respond rather than to react. Not that anybody's going to be perfect at this, right? Like, that's not the point either, to put so much pressure on yourself that you have to get it right. It's just recovering when you don't, and then understanding when you do as well. And I think that's another piece that I want to bring up here too, is like, we can be curious and learn a lot about ourselves when things are going well as well. It doesn't just have to be when the response isn't as effective. So I think that's important. But I love how you then frame, LaShawn, that learning, how you learn about yourself. And learning about yourself means just like being able to take that neutral, objective perspective as much as possible about oneself, which is really, 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 really challenging. But if we expect that the other person should be able to do that, we should also be able to do that as well, in terms of looking at all the different angles of where we're meeting up against our growth edge, where we're learning more about ourselves. And when you made the point, when we do kind of inquire about these pieces of ourselves, we do learn more about ourselves. And I love that point. I love that neutral stance of being able to say these are always learning opportunities, as they should be. Now, a few questions are coming up in my mind. At what point should they not be? At what point is someone continuing to make the same, I don't want to say missteps, but maybe misobservations and just limited awareness? So that's a question that's coming up for me a lot. And then I have another question that's coming up for me a lot, is like, what about, because we are talking about human conversation, human relationships. There are people who value human relationships much more than others. There are some people who do not see as much value in that. And so I'm curious, what would be an effective way to bring those conversations together? Because I see this is where one of the key challenges are, shows up again, 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 and again in my own life. And then also kind of at that broader scale that, Angel Sanchez talked about in our previous episode. So I guess I'm now, instead of talking through things, coming up with questions about things on this topic. So, LaShawn, do you want to take one of those questions, as far as, on one hand, you might have people who are in disagreement, who just one really values human relationships and wants that closeness, and the other could care less in a lot of ways. Or there's this other piece too of just that awareness and what that means across the divide.
I think this is a really good example of how curiosity opens up other questions, other things, other areas to explore. When you are entering into a conversation, especially when you're entering into a conversation with the intent to reach an understanding, to find neutral ground, or in order to find common ground, I think it is really important to know what is the individual intent of the people involved in the conversation. What do they want to get out of this interaction, this exchange? One might want connection. Another might just want to get to the bottom line, and maybe they have more practical, not that connection is impractical, but maybe they have more transactional goals in mind. We would then need to ask those curious questions about how do we, one who wants connection, who values relationship, who is really relationship focused, how that person can come up with a compromise, or where we can create a win-win situation. It's maybe, is it possible? Is it not possible? Where the person who is more transactional and is not so interested in relationships, what are they interested in? And then maybe one would have to ask the question of, is this exchange even worth going into? If we are at such odds, is it to our best interests, both parties' interests, to engage? But if it's in the case of, working together, or it's in the case of deciding on a mutual agreement, then yes, you do have to set aside maybe your some of your desires, like to connect or relational, and then the other person who's transactional might have to kind of compromise a little. And you can work together by asking questions like, what is important to you about this? What do you want to see come out of this? You might even ask about, what are your no-go zones? Like, what's non-negotiable here? Let's talk about what we're not willing to compromise on, and then maybe you could find a neutral ground. And the other thing with just looking at going back to what you were saying about, I think like perfection came up, and or the idea of perfection, and something just kind of that piqued my interest, because I was thinking the antithesis or the salve to judgment is curiosity. And so that's one thing that came to mind, is when we are that inner critic is judging how we're doing things, how we're showing up, it's not perfect, it's not whatever, then that's your inner critic. Anytime you've got those judgments going, so how can you mitigate the effect, the impact that the inner critic can have on your confidence and your ability to show up authentically as yourself? Be curious, be curious about what your inner critic is doing and why your inner critic is showing up. And Aaron, I can't remember the first one. He's like
Yeah, I'm totally
the
blanking
other
on it.
one.
That's okay. I feel like there's so much with this one to keep with. You mentioned, did you take the Crucial Conversations training? Have you tried done
I
that?
haven't.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So as you were talking, I'm like, oh yes, this reminds me of Crucial Conversations, which is a training program that we had at the university to help us, have difficult conversations in meaningful ways. And I As you were talking, it piqued my memory of like, oh my goodness, I need to go back to those, the texts that I have. I have the book somewhere and like really kind of dig into that again and just see if there are any new learnings coming up that I, didn't internalize back then. So that was one of the things that was really coming up for me as you were talking. And then I was also feeling like so many different emotions about like different types of conversations. Because when it comes to familial conversations, it feels like for me, those seem to be higher stakes. Those seem to be more emotional than in other parts of my life. And I know for other people, maybe those happen more in the workplace or those happen, So it's all over the place. And I think that knowing where you're at and knowing that, hey, if I'm going into a conversation with a family member and I typically get highly emotional, this is before the fight, flight, fawn, freeze, et cetera. This is before that. I need to do some self-care. I need to have a plan in place even before the conversation where I can decompress, where I can be a little bit more objective, where I can get my needs met in a different way. And breathing, and you mentioned that as a way for the neural pathways as well, like breathing exercises might help, but there are so many other things that could help too, right? Like writing or walking or talking it through with someone else before you go into the conversation or into the experience. And so I think that knowing what works for you is that curious piece, it's the trial and error, but then taking the intentional time to try what works best for you, I think, is really important. With that self-care, when we're having those conversations, it can be a before, during, and after thing. So we often talk with people about studying before, during, and after something. Well, we can be curious in that same way and study these conversations and how we're feeling and thinking about them before. And then one way to do that during, it helps you be more neutral because you're being curious in the moment, asking yourself questions. How am I feeling right now? These are all internal questions that you might be asking with yourself. Why am I noticing my heart is racing? What can I do to support myself during this conversation or during these conversations with others? And then after, a way to reflect on what went well and what you noticed in your change as you started to implement more strategies and being celebratory in a way sometimes too of like, hey, that didn't fully meet the mark. And I feel like I did this piece of this a little bit better, a little bit more informed, a little bit more fluid than I thought I would or than I did. So having that level of positive self-talk reinforcement can also be helpful. And I just like that phrase before, during, and after because it's so easy to remember. Okay, I have to do something before this. I have to do something while we're doing this, and then after to take care of myself. And what does that look like? And so it doesn't have to be a big act of care, right? These can be very small, subtle things like rubbing your fingers together, right? From positive intelligence or other things like that. So yeah, I think that's where I was kind of headed in this conversation here. On curiosity. And I know we're talking a lot about curiosity in particular with conversations and haven't delved into the conflict as much. So on that note, I'll sit down with Sean. There you go. I'm gonna avoid conflict now. Yeah, what do you want to add here?
I think that it's such an important thing to keep in mind that you can prepare yourself for what you anticipate to be a difficult conversation. As Erin, you use the example of a conversation with family, but it can also be giving bad news. I mean, that's top of my mind right now because I just took a phone call and I have to give some families a family a bad news. And I'm like, how can I do that? And so I love that you brought up the before, during, after, because if we can keep that system in mind when we are navigating difficult conversations and situations, we have that as a kind of an anchor or a scaffold for going into something like that. Because it's very easy to be overwhelmed by emotion and also just the scope or the depth of the nature of whatever you are navigating, because difficult conversations, I mean, just by their nature, have a lot of a weight to them. And difficult situations also as well, which we haven't really delved into situations. But conflict is, again, one thing that we can, not need to, but that we can do is ask curious questions about conflict. How do we feel about conflict? Is it heavy for us, or is it like, ooh, cool, conflict? So maybe we could explore different ways of viewing conflict. And one thing that conflict can do, a positive thing that conflict can bring, is strengthening relationships. So if you're starting out this friendship with someone, you're getting to know them, and there's a conflict that arises, then you're learning several things about yourself and several things about that person. One, you're learning, oh, they've got a boundary. Ooh, okay. So, hey, what is it that they value? Is that in align with, and does that align with my values? And so your bonds can strengthen and you can deepen your knowledge of someone through conflict. If you're constantly saying, yes, I agree, I agree, I agree, then there are parts of that person you may not know. Sometimes it's through conflict that we reveal things about ourselves, strengths, weaknesses, and everything in between. And we reveal things about the other person as well. We reveal things, conflict in a society. There was a quote, and I can't remember who it was, but something about difficult situations, hardship, turmoil can break us or break us open. And that kind of goes back to what Erin, you say about grief, what it can do for us. It can break us open. So there can be some good things that come out of conflict. And so if we maybe focus on that or ask the question, how can I make this conflict beneficial for myself? What can I learn from this about myself and others? How can I expand, grow as a human being in this conflict? So that's one way that we can be curious. And again, to use your word, Erin, which I love, is to build those pathways that are going to help us navigate these situations. And one thing that comes back to the before, during, and after is that you have a map. That's a map. Before, during, and after, that's a map. And we can flesh out that map and we can create, pathways, again, to use your word, it's the word of the day. We can start to map out, okay, what does that look like? What is this territory? Where are the easy paths here? Where's the rough terrain? Where's the there be dragons, areas that we may not want to venture into. But because we have that before, during, and after, we have a map. We have something that we can base our understanding of whatever this situation or the conflict is, and it empowers you, it empowers me to hear that and to bring that to mind when entering into difficult situations and difficult conversation that I'm about to have after this call.
Cool.
So how can I be, curious about, my approach to this? Like, how do I frame it so that it's bad news, And then maybe I could even ask myself, why am I using the word bad news? Yes, it's not what they wanted to hear, and it's another kind of setback in the process. But what can I do as, someone that they look to as a guide and someone they look to, someone who's going to help them? How do I approach the situation in a way that is gentle, I guess, is one way of putting it, So those are some questions that come up. But conflict, I think, is an interesting word. And I think we could get curious about what that is and how it can bring about some good, and it doesn't always have to be taking away or destroying. It could also be, to use that phrase, it could break us open and reveal things about ourselves and situations that we may not have been aware of.
Yeah, I love that. I love everything you said. And I like the idea of conflict showing us how we can learn more about ourselves and others, versus just learning more about the topic of the conflict, right? Like, I feel like often that's what people want to take away is the content of what they're talking about specifically. However, I think it's just as powerful to learn what was opened up to us and ourselves in those conversations, and coaching being a growth-oriented field, and how that re relates directly to coaching for us and our own self-understanding, our own growth, and our own ability to support other coaches as well as our clients in that growth as well. And often people start to then associate this with like some of the shadow work that goes on, or some of the work that goes on with the parts of ourselves that we may not be either as familiar with or that like as much, and those sorts of things. And I think when we can be curious about, the whys, that can be really helpful too. And I think it's interesting because in initial coach training, they often are like, don't ask why questions, ask what and how questions pretty much of your clients. And then eventually, like, okay, now maybe do ask some why questions, right? And I think the why question can be incredibly powerful in our conversation today with that point and the theme of curiosity being, why did I feel this way during this conversation? Why did they say that? Why did I interpret it this way? Like, I know you can start to go down a rabbit hole if you get into the weeds too much with this, which may not be, the best thing or may not be the healthiest option for you, but it also can open you up to more understanding and more awareness and more of a curious understanding of the actual topic at hand, right? Then that might not only broaden our perspectives of ourselves and the person we're having the conversation with, but also the topic at hand too, and all the different layers there. And I think that's one of the most challenging things that we're up against in society right now is all of this level of complexity that exists, all these layers that exist, they often are just talked over or through, and nobody wants to really get into the nuance of things because it's not quick enough, it's not efficient enough, it's not this enough, and I think it really creates a lot of problems. It's like you're starting to create and build things as you go versus really starting to understand at a deeper level than to decide, and move forward. And I know we want things so fast in today's society, especially with how we have been conditioned through social media and how we've been conditioned through our current societal structures. And we have to remind ourselves that true positive change isn't always fast. And if we can come together and look at more of the layers together, like under a microscope, or like scientists, or with curiosity, I think that creates less heaviness between different ideologies or different ways of thinking about things, to then come together around a topic to come up with solutions rather than fighting through it to think that your side has a better solution here. So I don't know, I'm kind of a little bit tangential here, but I think that is one of my ahas today, is just like, when we can sit with the layers of complexity, I think we can create something that's much more profound and beautiful, and it can be co-created. It doesn't have to be by one person. And most things in this world are co-created or co-constructed. And then on top of that, we want efficiency when most of the inventions in our society have not been efficient, right? It's been a lot of like this mishmash of creativity and different people's ideas to get to a certain place. So this conversation is just a reminder for me personally, and then hopefully a call outwardly, that we can hold the complexity of things and be able to talk with them and be curious about them. And the more we delve into that curiosity, I think the more payoff we get for humanity and one another.
Yeah, I really appreciate that you're bringing up the complexity, the nuances, things that we tend to kind of bulldoze through or completely circumvent. And that leads to really shallow and not always effective or efficient solutions. Because if we don't fully understand what the problem is, the solution could be to the symptom, not the disease, or to, you know, not getting down to the root or the heart of it. And that takes time, as we know as coaches. That takes some excavating, to use Angel's metaphor of digging. Get those shovels out, right? Excuse me, right?
You want to dig some more.
Yeah, get those shovels out and dig some more and some more and some more. And it's like one of those things that requires patience. It requires time. And sometimes we just don't have that. We have this sense of urgency. We have this impatience. We want it done now. We want it done quickly. You know, it's very instant gratification kind of way of looking at something that just doesn't lend itself to that. In order for it to be effective and to really, really make a deep and lasting change, positive impact, we really need to get down into the weeds, and we need to be inclusive and ask those questions. Whose voice haven't we heard? What perspective haven't we seen? Because it's really like pieces of a puzzle. And if we don't have all those pieces, that puzzle is not complete. Even if it's just one little piece on the corner, it is not complete. We need that piece. Every piece counts. And so curiosity really lends itself to navigating those parts of a situation or a conversation that hasn't been explored. When we're asking questions, when we're seeking the truth together with our conversation partner, or with, you know, other people in the situation, if we're navigating solutions or we're looking for solutions, it's really important to know for what we are looking for that solution. And are we delving deep enough? And sometimes you can't get deep enough. But I think as long as you hold the intention that, yes, we may not get to the heart of the matter, but we're going to get as close as we can. And we're going to try to take incremental steps towards getting to the heart of the matter. And so even though we may come up with a solution for a symptom, that might get us even closer to the disease. And we keep delving and we keep exploring, and we know that it's not done. We're not done. This is a work in progress. And the more that we hold in our mind that curiosity and that intent to get to the heart of the matter, the closer we'll be to a solution that works for everyone involved. So I think we're very close to coaching nuggets of wisdom time. Erin, it was kind of like the last bit that you were talking about sounded like a coaching nugget of wisdom. If you were to summarize like everything that we've touched on in this conversation or any like words of wisdom that you have to impart, what would they be?
I think it's notice internally how you are feeling when you are having these conversations and stay curious about the feeling aspect. Because I think you'll learn a lot about yourself and others and what's really going on in the conversation.
Yeah, this is an unspoken thought that has been floating throughout this conversation. And one thing that I want to bring in the coaching nugget of wisdom is the idea of empathy and self-compassion and compassion for others. That is what allows us to lean into curiosity. When we are empathetic and also compassionate, that we don't have all the answers and that we are in this together. This is a work in progress. We're not going for perfection. We're going for progress. We're going for connection, some of us, and to the solution. And it doesn't have to be perfect. So be kind, gentle, and compassionate to yourself and others in difficult conversations and situations.
Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.